Podcast Macabre, Episode 17, Blogging with the Moon by Mark Brandon Allen. Welcome to Cast Macabre, your weekly horror fiction podcast. I'm Barry, your Crypt Master. This week's story is Blogging with the Moon by Mark Brandon Allen. I've been keen on running another space-based science fiction piece ever since episode 4, when we ran Sean Monaghan's excellently foreboding story, The Stone Goddess. This week's narrator is Graham Dunlop. You may recognise him from Escape Artist podcasts. He's appeared in all three. One of my favourites was Podcastle episode 90. Biographical Notes to a Discourse on the Nature of Causality with Airplanes by Benjamin Rosenbaum. Now, we've a tale to tell you.
Blogging with the Moon by Mark Brandon Allen. Even a man who is pure in heart and says his prayers by night may become a wolf when the wolfbane blooms and the moon is full and bright. Kurt Siodmak, 1941. Entry, January 13. Done it. Off-world contract is signed. Accepted the offer to teach Earth history and ancient folk ontology at the University of the Sunshine Coast Extension on Lassion in the Canis Major Galaxy. My life mate Liz will continue her horticultural research work on effects of wolfbane in the university's greenhouse. They understand my needs. To seal the arrangement, the search committee agreed to build a custom-designed house off-campus in New Queens for Liz and I, something we've always dreamed about. We'll cover the cost of the special upgrades. Liz is with me on this move, thinks it's the right thing to do to get away from bad publicity I received from my inherited affliction last year during the change at the University of Wales. Can't wait to get started with this exciting new challenge. We'll be on our way before the first spring full moon rises here on Earth. I'm truly grateful. LT. Entry, March 5. This is it. We board the Qantas Interstellar in 15 minutes. What an impressive looking ship. Liz is almost as excited as I. Should have done this years ago before I got a bad rap for my cursed ill temper. Be on board soon and safely on Lassion within the month. Lassion is unique. One of the only habitable planets with a single moon, and that moon circles the planet only once a year. I'm really thankful. LT. Entry, April 24. Met the University Chancellor today. Received the access code to our special home here in New Australia. Visited the building site. Main cylinders are just about completed. Good strong gate. Bars on all the windows. The masonry servioids are almost done with the double wall exterior brickwork, and the interior designers units finished decorating on Monday. Watched two Energex servioids connect the shared broadcast power grid to the built-in turbine and the geothermal energy pod. Should be a great plas cash saver. Tomorrow, the ComSat technicians are due to mount the Astralink dish, then hook up the bedroom wall mount and the great room holovisions. Telstra, New Queens Tele Company, will be around to install the in-house cyber object domicile program complex for the processor and the interconnect junction box for the home monitoring protection service. Everything's been moving along since our arrival on Lassion. We'll be able to take up permanent residence by May 18th. New moon tonight. It's wonderful to be here. LT. Entry, May 18. Moved into our new home sweet home at last. Liz and I live in the newest, safest house in town. Each cylinder of the house locks down instantly. Everything's networked. Great Room Holovision is connected through the house fibre optics, which tie to our personal cellographs that in turn interconnect with our Etherline and augment our microbiotic computers that interface with the Telstra virtual grid, along with all the appliances and the cyber object domicile logic system. Everything runs off the most user-friendly cellograph apps that I've ever seen. Best of all, cylinder lockdown is a snap, one touch. Totally pleased with Telstra's new cyber object domicile program. Upgrades were well worth the extra expense. Our future here looks great. Nothing could be safer for Liz and I, or the citizens of New Queens. Visited the campus today to arrange for my lecture hall. Our move to New Queens is now complete. Sliver of Lassion's moon was faintly visible in the evening sky tonight. I'm energised once again. LT. Entry, August 15. Have to get used to this monthly feeling of freedom without monthly worries about change. Held my first classes today. 31 students in Earth History and 27 in the Ancient Folk Ontology group. Extended afternoon lecture to discuss Transylvania, focusing on lycanthropy. After the last examination of the topic, accessed the domicile widget app on my cellograph and selected a very dry martini straight up with three olives for the barbot to shake. Turned down the thermo to a cool 74 degrees, switched the outside deco lights on, ordered a Holonet surround show for late evening entertainment for Liz and I, and then tweaked the Barbie to start dinner. Picked Liz up at the university's greenhouse, activated the audio quad ethereal synthesizer as we walked through the front gate to play our song. Everything was nice and cozy when we entered our special home. A really wonderful night. The Telstra cyber object domicile connection is fantastic. The Energex broadcast interchange with the house turbine cut power bill usage to a mere 10 Plazcash debits a day. We watched the start of the crescent moon from the rooftop portico of the upper cylinder at midnight. Life is good. I really like it here. LT. Entry, September 30. Domicile system crashed. Freak event. Illumination tube blew when I opened the bar cooler to get a Bogue stubby. Then everything else shut down. Deco lights, audio quad, microwave, computer, holovision, security. Everything. Carefully disconnected and reconnected all the appliances. Absolutely nothing. Called Telstra on my cellograph. Telstra Vice President apologetic referred me to the local Energex office. Energex insists that the problem is in the CyberObject software. CyberObject programmers ran some remote telediagnostics via the domicile processor. Their system expert claims it has to be Motorola's fault. Motorola says it has to be Telstra's problem. I don't care. I just want the house back to normal and security to function properly. Yearly full moon is only a month away. I'm a bit on edge. LT. Entry, October 2. Verbal pissing contest for the last several days. Turns out the problem was unanticipated failure mode. Telstra Network had never seen an illumination tube failure while a bar cooler door was being opened. Cyber object domicile's fuzzy logic interpreted the burnout as an Energex power surge and shut down the entire house as a safety precaution. But because sensor memory confirmed that there hadn't actually been a power surge, the hard drive logic sequence was confused and it couldn't do a standard restart. Telstra's vice president of marketing is very sorry. He swears this was the first time something like this has ever happened. Reboot took 6 hours. Okay, we'll give it another try. Hard time concentrating on grading theme papers tonight. Don't have to remind myself that there's a full moon at the end of the month. Somewhat apprehensive. LT. Entry, October 7. constabulary here in New Queens is not happy. Our Motorola security software keeps giving an emergency standby alert. Discovered that whenever we play the Great Room Holovision or audio quad above 40 decibels, it creates patterns of micro vibrations that get amplified as they hit the curved high E thermocast windows. When these vibrations mix with wind downdrafted from the turbine, the security sensors are actuated, and the police emergency computer concludes that someone's trying to break out. Go figure. Telstra's Vice President of Marketing is apologetic. Says that this flaw will be fixed in the next Cyber Object TeleSmart upgrade. It's not ready yet. He suggested shutting down the turbine geothermal power connect, which would eliminate the downdraft. Damn paperwork alone will cost 5,000 Plaz cash credits to put our home on straight grid billing. The Lassion moon is becoming ever brighter in the evening sky. I'm really getting irritable. LT. Entry, October 16. Liz and I came home from university tonight to find the constabulary's tactical laser team deployed outside our front gate and the domicile siren wailing. Seems a malevolent virus invaded our home. House computer caught it while automatically browsing New Queen's public access channel. Great room is a sauna. Bedroom windows are covered with ice. Frozen food locker is completely defrosted and the clothes washing servioid flooded the lower cylinder. Damn barbot is mixing and serving drinks in every stemmed glass in the house. Worse yet, the security gate is in free fall, cycling up and down, making an awful racket. Great Room Hollow is stuck on the shopping channel and the Telstra landline is automatically ordering everything that's being offered for sale. Audio quads blaring out Tchaikovsky's 1812 overture at an ear-splitting 90 decibels. And the bedroom wall mount holovision is constantly rerunning the 20th century version of The Money Pit, starring Tom Hanks and Shelley Long. Outside deco lights flicker like stroboscopes faster and faster until they explode from the power strain. Broken glass everywhere. Damasile interconnect junction box is eerily aglow. Stellagraph's pictorial app slowly throbbed with a balefully cryptic message, "Welcome home to domicile wrecker." Shit! I'm very, very upset. LT. Entry, October 18. Telstra's marketing vice president is apologetic. Telstra's programmers think they've digitally disinfected the house, but the place is a shambles. Several pipes have burst. They're not completely sure that they got the part of the virus that attacks automatic toilets and bidets. Nevertheless, the exorcists, as the Telstra Cyber Object Antivirus team members like to call themselves, are confident the worst is over. Damasile wreck is pretty bad, almost as bad as the Galaxy Net Resurrection 2 worm, said one of the exorcists. Just consider yourself really lucky you didn't get BT's Earthspawn Poltergeist. That one's really evil. So damn pissed. I forgot to check on the moon's phase tonight. I'm exhausted. LT. Entry, October 19. Had a very difficult time concentrating on my classroom lectures today after talking to the Telstra insurance agent. Apparently, our home isn't insured against viruses. Comets, meteors, alien invasion, fire, theft, cyclones, quakes and floods. Yes, according to the Telstra claim adjuster. Viruses, virus damage and unsolicited HoloNet purchases, no. Appears that our agreement with Telstra, those bloody bastards, explicitly states that all claims and warranties are voided if any appliance, computer or cellograph networks in any way, shape or form with a non-registered program. Telstra's asshole marketing vice president says he's very, very sorry, but they can't be expected to anticipate every virus that might be created here or anywhere else in the known universe. PlazCash debits for repairs alone will exceed my yearly teaching stipend. What a bunch of crap. First full moon on Lassion is just 2 weeks away. I'm really, really irritable. LT. entry, October 25. Got a call from a Telstra consumer marketing salesman today. Special pre-introductory offer. Because of our recent domicile anomaly, Liz and I are eligible to have our home become a beta site for Telstra's new Cyber Object TeleSmart 2.1 upgrade. It features the latest interconnects from Energex and a new virus protection subroutine. Everything that you always wanted, Professor Talbot, he says, and you'll be able to meet our marketing vice president and each of the detail programmers in person during the installation. Sure, I tell him, I'd love it. Send them over on the evening of the 31st when the moon is full and the wolfbane's in bloom. I'll leave the gate open and the lights on. I'll be waiting.
Zombie werewolf alien vampire monsters are coming to get you. Get you. Zombie werewolf alien vampire monsters are coming to get you.
Ray Bradbury's Fahrenheit 451 showed us a future where, on the surface of things at least, everything was easy and no one had any problems, of course. Under the surface, that future was twisted and wrong. But we might imagine a future where we live at ease, where technology serves our every need. Smart houses full of convenient machinery and entertainment on demand. And it's not so very far away, and it's certainly something to aspire to. But I worry that such an easy life would be no life at all. Perfection is unutterably dull. Trials and tribulations make life worth living, give one a sense of achievement, allow us to stick a finger up at fate and say, ah, got one over on you this time, you bastard. That's why I like this story. It all started off so well, too well, but oh, the gradual decline into chaos and anarchy was so cathartic. We already live in a technological world. Who hasn't had to deal with it going wrong, or more annoyingly, with the people on the other end of the so-called technical helpline? So next time you're being passed from department to department like the proverbial buck, just put on a deep voice like Scott from Teen Wolf and say,
"Give me a keg of beer,"
or something. Let me take a moment here to describe how all this works. We receive stories rendered in things called words, themselves nothing more than a logical grouping of special symbols known as letters. I have been trained to decode these words and letters, and through a subjective process of heuristics and emotional awareness born of over 3 decades of human life, decide which collection of words to bring to you each week. At this point, I pay the originator of these words for his or her trouble. I am then able, using parts of my respiratory and digestive system specifically adapted for the purpose, to convert these words into transverse airwaves, which, thanks to Faraday's law of induction and the evolution of Turing's genius, you are able to download every week and reconvert into sound waves, which we hope will fire off your synapses in some coherent and possibly entertaining fashion. But don't worry, you don't have to remember all this. There's only one point we wish you to take away with you today, and it's this. Without the critical injection of donations, the whole system will fail to function. It will wither and die like an office plant when no one's sure who owns it, and so no one waters it. Special thanks this week go to Richard from topwebcomics.com for his kind donation and for promoting Cast Macabre on his site, and for running an article about Cast Macabre. Just head on over to topwebcomics.com and click the link at the top of the site. Feedback for Stab of Fear 4, Ghost, by Tim Pratt. Rebecca says, "This was so incredibly sad, it's been on my mind all day. The imagery, I don't want to give away any spoilers, but the dress, oh god, it was actually haunting. So good and so very sad. Almost pathetic, wouldn't you say?" Not at all, Rebecca, it's powerful stuff. Head on over to our forums to discuss this story and anything else about the podcast. All our links can be found off our site at castmacabre.org. Now we have some news from Erin Cole, author of Legend of Lachusa Cast Macabre Episode 8. Last year, Erin put a dark twist on the 12 Days of Christmas to bring us a flash fiction event called 13 Days of Horror for Halloween, and it went down so well she's doing it again this year. From October 19th to Halloween on October 31st, her blog, Listen to the Voices, will bring you 13 terrifying tales of macabre horror to your doorstep. If your mind is full of haunts, flesh them out and submit your 100 to 1,000 word stories, poems or anything to 13daysofhorror@gmail.com. You'll find detailed submission guidelines over at Listen to the Voices at erincolelive.blogspot.com. The deadline's only October the 1st, and everyone who makes the final list will be notified by October the 11th. There's no payment, but Erin's holding a draw for all entries, and three random winners will receive a prize signed by her. This year, Cast Macabre is teaming up with the event too. We'll be selecting a few of the entries to feature in a Halloween special episode, and as we're a paying market, we'll pay for them too. You'll find details for that over at Listen to the Voices. Don't go looking at Cast Macabre's submission page or sending them in to us. Payment rates may rise according to donations. I'm really excited about this and look forward to seeing what you guys come up with. Cast Macabre is distributed under a Creative Commons Attribution Non-Commercial No Derivatives License. Let me phrase this uniquely. Don't hawk it or alter it, but you can spread it around as promiscuously as you want. Music by MusicAlley.com, sound effects from the Free Sound Project, links to resources used in our show notes, theme music by Pain Factor. This has been Barry J. Northern reminding you that... Oh, hang on, that's Norm's closing line on the Drabble Class. Wait. This week's quote comes... Oh no, that's been done already too. I really must come up with a better way of ending the show.